Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you who are listening online. It's good to have all of you with us. We normally pray before we eat. We follow the example of Christ, who would bless the food, our bread, before he partook of it, before he ate. So asking the blessing on a meal is a very common practice among God's people. I would like to ask you a question about this. If we pray over unclean food, such as pork and shellfish, does the food then become fit for human consumption? There's a scripture that people will use to prove this concept, and that's found in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to be looking in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now mine has a heading above it. I'm using the New King James, and it says a great apostasy. Now, beginning to read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says the following. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And this is a scripture they often use. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. So the question is, does your prayer sanctify the eating of unclean things like shrimp and pork and various other things? Well, today we're going to answer that very question. We're going to see if 1 Timothy chapter 4 supports the idea that prayer can make unclean meats clean, or stated another way, if we are served pork and we pray over it, then it's okay to eat it, right? That's what we're going to look at. Well, the first thing we need to consider is that there was a large religious group at this time that had the doctrine of demons and of deceiving spirits, and that comes right out of the Bible here. Paul and Timothy were constantly dealing with this group of people, and they were often seen as trying to infiltrate the church. You can read more about them in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just go back four or five pages. 1 Timothy, or maybe a couple of pages. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. This is where we get into this teaching. From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So there was a group of people that were teaching things that were not true. They didn't really understand what they were saying, and it was causing problems in the church. This religious group would constantly be causing trouble for the true church of God. These were known as the Gnostics. And they later became part of the great false church that was based in Rome. And I want you to notice that these sinners had seared consciences, as it says here. They had turned away from the commandment, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, as it says there in verse 5. Now, I'd like to read you what it says in the book of Haley's Bible Handbook. And Haley's Bible Handbook, if you have a copy of it, has a commentary on each of the chapters. And I want to read you what it says about 1 Timothy chapter 4. the part we read where it seems to indicate that prayer can sanctify things that are unclean. This is what it says here in the heading 1 Timothy chapter 4, coming apostasy. Apostasy, verse 1 through 5. This passage seems to say, though, that the church is a pillar of truth, there shall arise within the church gross systems of error are of demonical origin, teaching abstinence from meat food and conjugal intercourse. You know what that means in plain English? There were certain things you couldn't eat, and you could not involve yourself in sex. Therefore, you had to be celibate or unmarried. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of a large religious group that abstains from meat on certain days and whose priests do not marry because they consider themselves more pure if they're celibate? Let me read you again, and I'm going to start at the beginning. Now that you've got the context, let me read you what it says out of 1 Timothy 4 in the commentary in Haley's Bible Handbook. Apostasy, verse 1 through 5. This passage seems to say that though the church is a pillar of truth, there shall arise within the church gross systems of error of demonical origin, teaching abstinence from meat food and conjugal intercourse. This was one of the forms of Gnosticism, even then developing, which later grew to vast proportions, a heresy that is now almost extinct, except as its remains are found in the pretended celibacy of the Roman priesthood and their periodical fast from animal food. So Haley's Bible Handbook says that the great false Roman church incorporated these beliefs into their dogma, and that's why we have certain people in this group that will not eat meat on certain days. They eat meat on all the days, and they eat fish on Fridays, things like that. There was this group, the Roman church, came out of this Gnostic group. So let's look at the context of this verses. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's look at the context. Notice verse 3. Who believe and know the truth. So you got these people, and they're contrasted with those who believe and know the truth. So the church of God would be those that believe and know the truth. And these other people would be people that did not know and believe the truth. So the context is we're dealing with two groups of people. One that knew the truth and one that did not. Now what most people will tell you is that the church here was teaching that the old Jewish laws about clean and unclean, they didn't apply anymore. And so all you had to do was pray over the food and it became all right to eat because it was sanctified by the word of God in prayer. What I want you to show you here is there's such a thing as truth, and that there were those who did not believe and adhere to the truth. There were some who strayed and were teaching false doctrines. This religious group would be constantly causing problems for the church. Now, let me ask you a question. There was this group in verse 3 who believed and who know the truth. What is the truth? Well, we're going to go to another scripture. Keep your place here. Let's go to John chapter 17, verse 17. And, I mentioned many times in previous messages that there's very important scriptures that people will plaster all over their bumper stickers and, placards in their living room, but they don't tell you on what day this was spoken. This scripture I'm going to give you was spoken on the day of Passover, on the Passover evening. Notice John 17, verse 17. We're looking at what is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So this scripture about your word is truth was given on Passover. I always wonder why they don't keep the day it was given on, but that's another subject. But the point is this. What is truth? God's word is truth. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Notice verse 4. For every creature is of God, is good and nothing to be refused, if it is to be received with thanksgiving. Let me ask you a question. Are there some foods you don't receive with thanksgiving? Yes. There are some foods you don't receive with thanksgiving. It says here, It should not be refused if you can receive it with thanksgiving. So, can you receive pork with thanksgiving? No. Can you receive lobster with thanksgiving? You know what thanksgiving is? The giving of thanks. That's what it means. You know, don't overanalyze words. So, can you give thanks over pork and receive it? Can you give thanks over lobster and receive it? Can you give thanks over grubs, worms, which some people eat? No. Can you give thanks over beefsteak? Sure. So there's a distinction even in that verse. It doesn't just cover everything. Notice verse 5. For it, what's being referred to in verse 4, which can be received by thanksgiving, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Truth and the word of God are the same thing, brethren. So it says here in verse 5 that it is set apart by God's word. So let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible can we find laws that set apart the meats we should and should not be eating? I'm not going to turn there, but they're found in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. These scriptures show what God said you can eat, which can be received with thanksgiving, which are part of the truth, and these are the animals and the flesh that you cannot receive with thanksgiving and are not sanctified by the truth. These scriptures show that God separated some profane things from things that we can actually eat and are dedicated to God. These two chapters and many other places in the Bible show us what God has separated out as fit for food. Point number three. The first point is the Gnostics were this group. The second point was the context. Always look at the context. And the third is the proper understanding of 1 Timothy chapter 4. These are the things we've learned. There was a group of people who had strayed from the truth. They had doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. They were hypocritical and had seared consciences from repeated sin. How does your conscience get seared? You know, when you do something and it's wrong, the first time you do it, it bothers you. The second time you do it, yeah, not so much. Fourth, fifth, tenth, a thousandth time, oh, it's no big deal. Your conscience has been seared, brethren. You don't want your conscience crusted over and scarred up. You want your conscience fresh so that if something picks at it, it responds. These people had seared consciences. Why were their consciences seared? Because they had repeatedly sinned over and over and over again. They forbade marriage, and they practiced and taught celibacy. They did not eat permissible meats. There's some meats you can eat and some meats you cannot eat. They wouldn't eat some meats you could eat, and there's a difference. It's not talking about eating unclean meats. It's talking about not eating meats that God says you can eat. That was the subject. If a Christian could eat meat with a thankful attitude, it should not be rejected. The context is meat that some were not eating because of demonic teachings that God said could be eaten. This excludes the subject of clean and unclean meats. Meats are sanctified by truth, correct? What is truth? Truth is the word of God. So the Bible sanctifies and tells us what we can and cannot eat. The passages in 1 Timothy chapter 4 are not addressing the issue of clean and unclean meats. The subject is demonic doctrines. These doctrines included celibacy and not eating meats that could be eaten by Christians. So to answer the question, does prayer clean up unclean meats? The answer is no. Look at the context to really understand what's going on in the fourth chapter of the first book of Timothy.